thank you. Nice to be on the radio.
Well, I get to do it a lot, and I have to say it never gets old. So could you give us a quick snapshot of what happened in the Burrabee art case?
Yeah, sure. So in 2018, the ACCC, Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, instituted proceedings against Burrabee art. And so in October of last year, the court heard evidence, and the court found that Burrabee had engaged in misleading and deceptive conduct. So essentially they had breached the Australian consumer law. And what that meant was that Burrabee was making products, so Aboriginal art style products, such as didgeridoos and boomerangs in Indonesia, and they were made by people who weren't Aboriginal. And they were then selling those items in Australia. And those items were being sold and being associated with words such as genuine Aboriginal art, hand-painted. And so the court heard all of the evidence and found that Burrabee were misleading consumers. They were misleading consumers because they were giving the impression that these artefacts and products were made by Aboriginal people, when in fact they were actually made in Indonesia.
Mm.
So that was a breach of the law.
Absolutely. And how common is that? How, you know, does this happen often, do you think?
Well, the ACCC has done some investigations on organisations who sell fake art. This has certainly been probably one of the most high-profile cases. But there are estimates in the market that say up to 80% of souvenir products in that tourist end that have Aboriginal style on them are actually fake or are not done under a proper licence agreement. So there is a big market out there for the fake work. But I think with decisions like this and the penalties that are being brought down, it brings more awareness to the issue.
And if I could just interrupt, what do you mean by fake Indigenous art? You said that there's a type of licence that they have to have. What kind of authentications do you have to go through?
Yeah, so when we talk about fake Aboriginal art, or another word they use is inauthentic Aboriginal art. So this is Aboriginal art products, so didgeridoos or boomerangs or canvases that might be done in an Aboriginal style. But these products have been made by non-Aboriginal people. So there's no Aboriginal involvement or consent or knowledge throughout that whole process, from the products being created all the way through to them being sold. So when we say fake, we mean products that are not made by Aboriginal people, but they're products that clearly have the impression that they're made by an Aboriginal person because of, for example, the dot style of the work.
And you're a co-chair of the Indigenous Art Code. What involvement do you guys have in that authentication process?
Yeah, so at the Indigenous Art Code, we looked, it's a voluntary code that dealers of Aboriginal art and artists that can sign up to. And so we work with dealers of Aboriginal art to ensure that there's fair and transparent agreements that they have with artists, to ensure that artists are getting fair deals throughout this process. And we also assist artists with any disputes that they might have when they have found that their works might be sold without their consent, or they're not getting proper acknowledgement for their works. So we do a range of things at the Indigenous Art Code, and also including the campaign, the Fake Art Harms Culture campaign, which I think a lot of the listeners and people on social media might have heard about as well. So there's a few different areas that we help artists in this area in relation to fake art.
What's Australia like at dealing with the problem of fake Indigenous art? What do we need to do to tackle the problem?
Well, look, this issue's been going on for a very long time. It's not a new issue, and I think we need stronger laws in place. The Burrabee decision was good because it brought more attention to the issue, but the decision itself doesn't stop fake art from being made or sold. And I think that's a really important point to make. The case was only dealing with misleading and deceptive conduct, but we need stronger laws to stop fake art. So the Indigenous Art Code, Copyright Agency and Arts Law Centre of Australia were actually looking to make an amendment to the Australian Consumer Law to try and stamp out the existence of fake art in this country.
And $2.3 million was the fine that was handed out to Burrabee. Do you think that was enough?
Well, it's hard to say, and I think in taking into account the financial loss and also the cultural loss as well, and cultural harm that it does, it's really difficult in my view to put a price on those things, particularly the cultural loss that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people feel, you know, when cultural designs are stolen and appropriated for the purposes of fake art. The thing about the $2.3 million fine, though, is Dhirubhi is now in liquidation, so there are probably very slim chances that this fine will actually be recovered by the ACCC. In saying that, the $2.3 million fine might act as a deterrent for others in the market. So those dealing in the manufacture and sale of fake Aboriginal art, it might send them a message that misleading and deceptive conduct and labelling of products unfairly or falsely is not something that the courts or the ACCC will tolerate.
Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on and joining us this morning.
Thanks very much.